Moncrief on News Talk.
We are joined now by two of Ireland's leading architecture critics, Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley. Good afternoon to you both.
Hello. Good evening.
Yeah, I always do a reference to what we've been talking about off air.
They know what you meant.
Nothing to
what? What are they talking about? Well, it intrigues them.
We're just putting in objections everywhere. We drive around the city. Just
housing crisis. It's their fault.
It's a no for me too.
I'm 27. I've been going out with a lovely girl for about 4 years now. She's amazing in every way. My friends like her. My family like her. She and I get on like a house on fire. We also work in the same industry. It's quite a niche industry. So it's really nice to be able to chat with her about that too. The problem is that recently we got into a deep conversation about life and our future together. She told me she doesn't believe in marriage and doesn't want to get married. She also told me that she's not sure she wants to have children. Naturally, being a lad in my mid-20s, these things were never to the forefront of my mind. However, since our conversation, it's been playing on my mind quite a lot. I was brought up in a fairly traditional household and I've always just assumed I'd get married. It's something I want. I've always pictured myself as a dad someday and I've always been sure I want children. I love this girl and I know I'll be heartbroken if I break up with her. I don't know if I should stick with it in the hope she changes her mind, but what if she doesn't? I think I will end up resenting her. Do I break up with the love of my life? Sorry, it's the love of your life so far, because we weren't aligned, or should I just coast along for a few years and hope for the best?
Okay, so the first question that came to my mind when I read this is to ask the person, the letter writer, like, have you told her how you think you feel about getting married, having kids? Because from reading the letter, it sounds like they got into this deep conversation where she expressed the fact that she doesn't believe in marriage and doesn't want to get married and that she's not sure that she wants to have children.
Yeah.
And that he hadn't given this any thought really until she started this conversation. And he went off then and had to think and then thought, oh, actually, I think I would like to get married and I think I would like to be a dad, which is fair enough. But now he needs to do the next step, which is continue the conversation. Like, they've been together for 4 years. So, you know, you need to get back and continue the conversation by telling her what you think it is that you want. That's the first thing I'd say. The second thing I'd say is that how you feel about these things in your early to mid-20s can often change. Mm. At their stage in life, trying to think back all those millions of years ago, you know, in your 20s, you're very concerned about your job and your social life and having a good time. And very often the whole idea of tying yourself down with kids and a partner for life, you know, it does seem to be like, well, I'm not ready to go there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it may not be set in stone. I mean, when I met my husband, we were in our mid-30s. He said he didn't want cats. We have four. He said he never wanted a dog. We're on our second dog. And he also was delighted that I already had a half-baked 10-year-old child.
Yeah.
He was happy enough with that because he didn't want more kids. We had two more kids.
So, yeah.
Do you know, these things aren't necessarily set in stone.
I don't know if that's
yeah, but he's a man.
So this guy
and
is
you're
right.
You,
but I mean, imagine what he's scared of is that she's gone off on this definitive, don't want to get married, don't know if I really want children. So we can't come back to her a week later and go, well, actually, I would like to get married and I would like children.
Because,
but that's like, that he's like defining an incompatibility between them.
Well, you can have a conversation. I mean, and you know, instead of kind of like just boldly saying, oh, actually, I want the opposite, you know, to say, look, you got me thinking. And, you know, when I was thinking I might want to have children. And, you know, I actually don't really have a problem with marriage. You need to keep the conversation going. But you are right. At the end of the day, he's got to, if she's absolute and says, no, I actually definitely don't want to have kids, whatever about the getting married, because that's a kind of a... But the having kids is probably that. Then he's going to have to think to himself: is that going to be a deal breaker? And if it is a deal breaker, then you got to move on.
Yeah,
yeah. I think there's definitely the clash of like the dreams that you think you have, and I'm saying that rather than the dreams you actually have, because sometimes we're grown up, we're fed so many narratives about the way that the world is meant to be and the way that our lives are meant to be that we kind of think that we have these expectations for life, like, you know, settling down and having a nice lady wife and loads of children and whatever, you know. Well, I'm speaking about myself, Barbara, you know, that, you know, and then you realise that that's not the path that life has for you. And you can even set out on that road and realise that that's not the path that life has for you. So underlying the whole of this dilemma is the idea that the certainties that you expect from life may not be offered by life. And to kind of go into it thinking that this conversation that you're going to have with this woman, the love of your life at this moment, moment in your life, will somehow then set out the way that your life is going to be is a little bit deluded. I think it is good, though, to have conversations about what you would like from life, because they do reveal things about people that you may not have yet excavated and realize that that's what they are, or this is what they believe in. You know, why does his girlfriend not want to get married? You know, what is that? And is that something that they can reconcile together? I would suggest, like you just did, Barbara, that it probably is something that they could reconcile in some way. I mean, traditionally people got married, and actually in Ireland in a current time, fewer people do. Does that actually change fundamentally what
your commitment
relationships are like? No, it doesn't. Secondly, about, you know, children, you know, the thing about it is that for some people, they really want to have children, and some people feel that they don't want to have children. And some people just have children unthinkingly, and they just have them, and they, you know, it becomes their, it just happens naturally, quickly, whatever the way you want to describe it. So for him to be having this kind of abstract thought is good in some way, but it needs to be with somebody else for it to have any meaning. Otherwise, it's just this kind of abstract thought about what he wants from life.
But I mean, wouldn't you agree that he does need to express to her
what
he thinks he wants at this point? I think that's really important.
Because you bounce that thought against somebody else. So somebody has an idea, oh, I don't want to ever have a bank account. And then somebody else says, well, I'm going
to
give you money.
That was pretty hard, wasn't it?
Well, I didn't want to specifically say that.
But when he says, I was brought up in a fairly traditional household. Now, apart from, unless they're Amish or something,
he wants a trad wife. That's what he's looking
if you worry about that.
No, I don't think that's what he's saying.
And he says, I always just assumed I'd get married. Rather than, so maybe he hasn't thought about it that much.
I don't think he has.
As you say, like, getting married is completely optional nowadays.
Yeah, it is.
And I think often what happens is that when you present somebody with an either or choice, they can spend all of their time thinking about what they're going to choose. But if you tell them then that one of the choices is taken off the table, even if they were leaning towards the other choice, that suddenly becomes the narrative. It's about, oh, you took that away from me. I'm going to live the rest of my life dwelling on this choice that has been taken away from me. When instead, what he should be thinking about is what it is. Because, you know, it's like a bingo card. You don't necessarily get all of the numbers, but you can still have a lot of fun playing.
Yeah. So we're going to be like
to bingo.
To a life's
like,
bingo.
Wow. You are winning this game today.
Yeah. Men are highly adjustable, says one texter, in any relationship, and need to be taken by the hand, which inevitably always happens. Otherwise, there would be no organisation in the relationship.
Well, as I've often said, many times to my own detriment, to my own husband, sure, you didn't know what you want until I told you.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot to be said about that, that sometimes, I mean, I'm not subscribing to that particular viewpoint, but I do think that sometimes there is somebody saying, I would like, you know, a house with a walled garden. And the next thing you know, you have the house that you never thought you wanted. And you're suddenly like, oh, this is lovely. I'm really glad I have this. Or let's go to this place on our holidays. Never thought about it. But, you know, so sometimes somebody else feeding an idea of what would be good for you is actually really good for you. And
yes,
you being a little bit too narrow in your expectations, you know, is not good for you.
Mm. Yeah. Someone else says, I always knew I didn't want kids. I didn't want to marry my boyfriend as I wanted him to have a choice. He said he wanted me over kids. 18 years later, we got married. Now married 15 years with no kids. It all worked out.
See, that's and that's what I was saying to him. You know, if they have more conversations, if he thinks he does want to be a dad, and if she definitely kind of decides that she does not want to be a mother, well, then he has got to decide, is that a deal breaker? Do I love her more than my feeling that I want to be a dad? And that's what it comes down to, you know, and it can work. Lots of people are very happy without kids.
I didn't want children. Then I was with someone who wanted children and was very clear with me about it because she knew how I felt when we got together. I changed my mind. It was the best change of mind ever. I'm not with the woman anymore, but I'm with my children and they're fantastic. Though Jerry says, tell that lad not to have children. They're horrible creatures.
Yeah. Cost a fortune.
I know lots of people
cost
would agree.
A fortune. Yeah. Yeah, there is that.
Suck out your will.
It's kind of hard though. the thing about it being in a relationship with somebody, you can actually, there, you know, it's like the bird in the hand versus two in the bush metaphor.
Yeah. Delicately put.
I'm just going to stop there. Leave that. That's my advice.
I can't follow that.
Ed said, this guy doesn't know when he's well off. He's found a nice girl who just wants to take things as they come and isn't pestering him with the where's this going conversation.
Oh, gosh.
That's also.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's, I mean, because even like if either partner brings up that, well, where will we be in 2 years' time? I don't know. I haven't a time machine.
You have to. If you're like they're 4 years in, and if they're if this relationship is important to both of them and to anybody who has a relationship that's important to them, I think you do have to, in broad terms. And I wish I had an allegory that could be match any of yours. Yeah, in broad
terms,
about
a pot, I think.
Yes.
You have to, in broad terms, have a shared vision of the life that you want.
Okay.
You do have to. And that you have to always have that. Like, even if you've been married 150 million years, you have to continue to kind of broadly want the same things.
Yeah. So is your advice that he should go back to her, tell her what he wants, and then she'll tell him, no, that's not what you want. And he'll agree.
I think that'd be the way to go there. Yeah.
But it's only one of the things that he wants. And that's the thing. And his opening to his letter was his kind of rather glorious, wallowing in how great this person is. And how the many ways in which they're so compatible. And that's kind of rare and that's hard to find. And that's where I was kind of going with my burden.
And also, she has said she's not sure that she wants children. She hasn't said, I absolutely, definitively do not want children.
Yeah.
So there's definitely way more conversations to be had.
Yeah, you could try having a cat first, see how that works.
Oh, don't talk to me about cats.
Okay, I won't. A few years ago, my wife's brother-in-law was diagnosed with dementia. Shortly after he got the diagnosis, my sister-in-law began to exclude him from family events, birthdays, dinners, etc. He was invited, but she just wouldn't bring him along, claiming he was too sick. Then about a year after the diagnosis, she had an outdoor pod installed at the back of her garden and moved him into it. Essentially, it's a one-bedroom apartment. She has also started to badmouth her husband around her children, who are in their late teens, and I noticed that they have become quite hostile towards their father. They also don't engage in conversation about their father if I bring him up. I genuinely don't understand why my sister-in-law is turning her kids against him, or why anyone would isolate a man who's being diagnosed with such a horrendous illness. To make matters worse, I have just found out that my sister-in-law has a boyfriend who she's been going on weekends away with. My wife and mother-in-law are condoning this behaviour. I've tried to broach the topic with my wife and she's been quite cagey about it. I think she's embarrassed, but at the same time is being loyal to her sister. We have a 4-year-old daughter, and if I'm honest, I don't want her growing up thinking this kind of behaviour is acceptable. I'm thinking of confronting my sister-in-law because I don't know what else to do. Wow. What episode of Days of Our Lives was this in?
I find this really complicated. And it's so complicated that I don't even know which angle to take with this problem, because there's the story about the there's a lot of allegations going on.
Yes,
rather than our normal kind of problem where it's set out, this is what I think and this is what the evidence I think I'm seeing. This is an allegation about a third party and then a fourth party. And like, I have no idea what the actual diagnosis of this man is, and I have no idea of what the actual living arrangement is. A lot of people who have family members who are going through some kind of a cognitive decline often do find a way to house them or home them in a way that protects them.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I don't know if that's what's going on, and it's been interpreted in some way. I also don't know why this person believes that they are the sole person who can step in and be the sheriff in town to solve a problem for their wife. Is clearly incapable of judging the morality of the situation, plus the wife's family, of whom the person with dementia is also involved. Mm. I just think there's too many things in here that my only advice is maybe reel your neck in and don't get involved with this problem if other people are already dealing with it. Because I can't actually make head or tail of that thing, to be honest.
I agree with you. I think this was the strangest situation and the strangest story. One of the strangest we've ever had. I mean, there's a couple of things. The first thing, just to address the very last thing he says in the letter, which is, we have a 4-year-old daughter and I don't want her growing up to think this kind of behaviour is acceptable. Like, the first thing I would say to him is, you cannot keep your children, no matter what age they are, in a bubble. Do you know?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. You can, you know, and kids know what's going on. So I think, you know, trying to kind of shield her from this or whatever is the road to nowhere. And then what is actually going on with the sister-in-law and her husband? I mean, a diagnosis of dementia is obviously a really challenging one, not just for the person who has the dementia, but for their family, who usually are end up being their carer as well. I'm slightly puzzled because although I know it's referenced the fact that the couple of which where the man has dementia, their children are in their teens. Dementia tends to be, now I know you can get younger people diagnosed with dementia, but it tends to be an illness that affects people over 65, which I'm assuming he isn't. The other thing, and again, trying to understand why the sister-in-law might have decided not to bring her husband to family events. Again, I know that in some cases with dementia, it can affect everybody differently. You know, a person can lose their filter and can their behaviour can be, you know, offensive perhaps, or you know, upsetting
socially
to people,
awkward or something.
Awkward or whatever. Yeah. Maybe that's what she's doing by not bringing him, whether that's bringing him to family events, whether that's a good thing to do or not, I don't know. The living in the cabin in the garden though has my head wrecked, because again, and I worked with the Alzheimer's Society for about 10 years, so I have some, a long time ago, I have some kind of insight. Usually people with dementia, or often people with dementia, will have broken sleep at night and will tend to wander. I would have thought putting him in a cabin in the garden was not
the recommended thing to do at all.
And that sounds to me to be really odd. The fact that the sister-in-law now has a boyfriend and they're going away for weekends also makes me feel that this relationship must have been on the rocks anyway.
Prior to the dementia
becoming an issue. Because again, from my experience of working with carers in particular, I always remember when I was getting ready for my own wedding and being all in love and, you know, all full of weddings and all that. Talking to a man who was a farmer in his 70s from down the country, who was looking after his wife who had advanced Alzheimer's disease, and he used telling me that he took her to the nail salon every week to have her nails done. Aww. Even though she was almost nonverbal, because she always liked to have her nails done. And I remember looking at him and thinking, I haven't the first clue about what love and commitment is about.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So the fact that the wife is behaving in this way, kind of putting him out in the garden, going off on weekends with the boyfriend, the whole thing just sounds really weird. But what I would say, and I agree with you, Declan, about reining your neck in and not go riding into town like the sheriff going to sort everything out. If our letter writer is genuinely concerned, the person he should be concerned about is the person with dementia.
Yes, 100%.
He should be going to visit him. Find out, how is he? Is he okay? You know, he might have dementia. Communication might be challenging. But that doesn't mean he doesn't need the contact. So if he's worried about him being kind of, if you like, cut out of the family and all the rest, go and visit him. With your wife, with your kids, go and visit him and spend some time with him. But other than that, the rest of it, I just
as you were speaking there, I something just popped into my mind. And it was just the words that I felt off this letter was judgmental. And again, I don't know enough about how to deal with somebody who's dealing with the symptoms involved. And again, it did sound weird to me. And so whatever I said, it wasn't advice. But what I do wonder about is whether or not this guy who's writing in the letter is seeing a woman disengage from her husband in some way, in a way that he doesn't really understand, and he's just throwing everything at her to say, I don't approve of this, it's all wrong, when in fact what's really triggering him is that his wife's sister's marriage looks like it's not really working out, and it's kind of giving them this kind of do you know what I'm saying? There's a kind of trigger in that way, that again it all leads back to the same perspective to me, which is that, you know, maybe for all the reasons we've discussed, this isn't your problem to resolve. If you're worried about the individual person, I don't know what their relationship is like, because
the man with dementia should be at the centre of this, not being a collateral damage to, you know, everything else that's going on, and that is what would worry me.
Yeah, it could be that, as you say, the relationship was on the rocks beforehand, and then he got the dementia diagnosis, and the wife then went, well, no, I'm stuck with him.
Yeah,
which could be why she's acting. It doesn't excuse it, but it's why she's acting that way. A lot of people though specifically in relation to moving him out to the pod and that kind of stuff, are saying that's possible abuse, maybe TUSLA, maybe the Alzheimer's Society.
Yeah, I mean, that was the bit that worried me most about it. Yeah. If somebody has Alzheimer's or dementia, they are very vulnerable. And I don't think having them living in a cabin in the garden is anybody's best practice. So,
But if all the family, this is the bit that, this again was one of the problems I have with this problem is that it was so, it's not very clear to me that it is actually like a pod or a one bedroom apartment. The two of those things are separate.
But either way, he's alone and he's at the end of the garden.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
the bit that would worry me. He shouldn't be alone and he shouldn't be at the end of the garden. I mean, again, going back a million years, I know people who had were looking after somebody with dementia, you know, would have baby monitors in the room so they could hear when they were getting up, yeah. you know, would have alarms around the house, would have to have doors locked and keys hidden in order that they
can't. We don't know what the setup yeah. is. And that's why
what I would say to your man, go and visit.
Yeah. And
go
see
and
what
visit
it is.
Your sister-in-law's husband and see what's going on if you are concerned. But I agree with some of the textures. I mean, I didn't want to say it, but it would worry me that he's in a yeah. the end of the garden. I don't think that's a good idea at all.
Anyway, we'll move on to a more humdrum problem. I'm a woman in my late 20s. I work in an office which is quite sociable and friendly. There's one guy who constantly stops and talks to me at my desk. There seems to be a lot of chemistry between us and we always have great chats. He flirts with me quite a lot, that even women in my office were asking if I was sleeping with him. I'm not. We had our Christmas party in December. Good time to have it.
Yeah.
And he spent a good portion of the night chatting to me. Again, many people in the office remarked that we looked cosy. In the last week, I heard he has a girlfriend, which I was surprised at. I was thinking that I might just text him and ask him if he does have a girlfriend, because his behaviour towards me would indicate otherwise. If he does have a girlfriend, then that's fine. But if he doesn't, I might just ask him out. Or would you be against office romance?
Oh, God. Many times have we dealt with this.
Yeah.
I'm like, honest to God.
Isn't that the same person, Barbara?
Is it the same person?
Yeah.
Going
God,
around
no.
in circles.
On again, off again. That's
and
what it is.
Once we tell a person what to do, they always fix their lives.
Yeah, true, yeah. But it also always makes me realise how thankful I am not to be working in a corporate environment any longer, because all of this is just such a minefield. Anyway, like, this really shouldn't be a problem. Okay, so this guy must have a bestie in the office, must have somebody else who he hangs around with a lot and who's mates, other than this woman here.
Yeah.
Surely it is possible to find out for definite whether he has a girlfriend or not.
Yeah.
You know, Mark hangs around with Fred over there. So I'll go to Fred and I'll just quite say, does Mark have a girlfriend? Just wondering, because he did seem to be very kind of friendly, yada, yada. And that would be the way to do it. For God's sake, don't be texting him. Hello. Do you have a girlfriend?
Girlfriend.
What?
Yeah.
Don't do that. That's ridiculous nonsense. I mean, if he hasn't got a bestie in the office that you can use to get the information, work around it. Do you know, the next time you're having a chat, say to him something like, well, would you and your girlfriend have ever gone here or there or whatever? Assume
yeah.
he has a girlfriend, and then he'll either confirm probably or
she's
deny
not my
it.
Girlfriend, she's my wife.
Yeah, exactly. But at the end of the day, you know, we've got so many of these, I'm starting to think we need to teach basic communication in schools. Like, why could people not work out ways to find out information and you know, proceed yeah. on without, you know, making it a big yoke? It's not a big yoke.
They don't
no,
like to
it's
ask
not a big
people.
Yoke. And it, well, even, this might be controversial, even if he does have a girlfriend.
So what?
Well, no, it's not even so what, but like, there's a difference between they've been living together for the last 5 years or he's been casually dating somebody
know,
for
Sean,
2 months.
If he has
you know?
A girl, no, Sean, if he has a girlfriend, he has a girlfriend. You have to
okay.
back off.
Yeah, well, no, but she can back off. But maybe your man is kind of is going...
Test driving a few other options.
Yes, he's been going out with another one off and on. He's, and now this one in the
don't
office.
Approve of that. No, don't
I just to be
no.
even more controversial, I don't believe that just because somebody has a girlfriend that it means that they're not allowed to speak to somebody of the opposite sex ever again.
Oh, true. Yeah.
So,
that's
I mean,
true.
And the interpretation of what their relationship, it seems to me like this one guy is smiling, getting along with some woman at work, and all the other people in the work are going, oh, look at you chatting to him again. Oh, you know, you look real cozy, whatever that means, or even the use of the word flirting, which whatever that means.
Yeah.
Neither of those words mean anything other than what you choose to make them mean. And at the end of the day, if he hasn't actually moved past a certain line with this letter writer, there's nothing going on other than a bit of like kind of
getting on.
Chat and getting on fine.
Yeah.
And if there's any other aspect of it, then, you know, the truth would have come out in some way. So I think it seems to me then that the person who wrote this letter in just hasn't worked out how to gather information, basically.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
It's like,
like
come
question.
On, girl.
I mean, we learned that. Is it to do with social media and phones
yeah,
or whatever?
We learned
how to do this stuff like as teenagers.
Because they go onto ChatGPT, whatever it's called, and they go, does he have a girlfriend? And then AI goes, I do not know the answer
to
that.
I thought on social media it'd be pretty easy to find out.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Yeah.
Whether this
but
chap
I mean,
is
back
girlfriend.
In the day, we always knew, like, if you fancied Fred, oh yeah, we last Mark. Is Fred like, you know, is he going out with anybody or is he free? Yeah. Or is he saying, there was always ways to find out. And yeah. as you say, it's far more easy now.
Yeah. And like, what are you talking about that, you know, that it doesn't come up as well? Which means, it seems to me this whole interaction is quite shallow, superficial.
I think she has the hots from, I think that's the problem.
Oh, she totally has.
She has the hots from, she wants something to come off this cozy yeah. conversations.
You don't get what you want unless you ask.
Oh, okay, you know. Cool.
Which you might get.
Yeah, but I think she needs to be a little bit more subtle than have you got a girlfriend by text. Like, I could just imagine. Yeah, oh, God, that's ridiculous. Crazy.
That's
yeah.
a bit stalkery already.
How does she think that, that's yeah. a good idea?
She needs yeah. to rein it in at the office romance. And why is everybody talking about her? He needs calling out instead of hush, hush, wink, wink.
All this dude is talking to her.
No, I know, yeah. But I think this person assumes that the entire office is talking about her rather right. than people okay. are saying to her, you're very cozy with him. And yeah. maybe speculating. I'd say that fella in the office is just looking for a bit on the side, says Will.
Come on, Will.
Come on, Will. Come on, Will. Really, does that happen anymore, a bit yeah. on the side?
On the side.
Well, it can now, thanks to, you know, we're getting rid of all the old woke stuff. We're back to, where? Like,
bits on the side.
The office.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, thanks be to God, because all this stuff, no one ever gets the right yeah. in any of these stories.
They just end up frustrated.
Barbara and Dagger, thanks very much for coming in.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.